So yesterday we started Shas, no longer Sanhedrin, and we're talking about Yesh Em LaMikra or Yesh Em LaMasoros. So we decided we'll go for it. Was that the final decision?
Yeah.
All right. So we're on Daf Dalet Omen Aleph, and we're going to count down from the top of the page three lines. And this is a list of Beit Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, and we also have Rabbi Yehuda ben Yeroetz. Kulo Sfir Lehu, this entire list is of the opinion Yesh Em LeMikra, and we start with Rabbi. Rabbi came to the conclusion, this is the only overlap with Masechta Sanhedrin, that you need five judges on the court for Dine Momenos. And this he derived from Yesh Em LeMikra, because the Torah says Yarshi'un. That's how we read it. That's not how it's written. It's written in Lashon Yachid, which would indicate that Elohim is referring to one judge. But since we read it as if there were above there Yarshi'un, therefore it's a reference to two judges. And once you have two judges, it says Elohim another two times. So you have 2 + 1 + 1 = 4. And we need a Beis Din Noter. It can't be an even number. So we end up with 5. So we know that Rebbe is committed to the opinion of Yesh Em LeMikra. And we interpret the pasuk based on how we read the pasuk, not how it's written. Now we get to the second level. And that is Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz. And this was the last thing that we discussed yesterday. And in the parasha of Tumas Leda, when the Torah says that Isha ki tazri av yalda zachar v'tamashiv as yamim, so if she gives birth to a male child, then we have 7 days of Tuma, followed by 33 days of Tara, teshe b'mei tahara. That's in the case where she gave birth to a boy. If she gave birth to a girl, the Torah says that vitam'ah. Okay, and now comes the key word. We don't know how to interpret this word. The word is written as shivim rather than shvu'ayim. In other words, in the ksiv, which is called Yeshem LeMesores, the vav is omitted. If the vav of Shvu'ayim is omitted, then it becomes Shiv'im, and it becomes 70, which means that in the case of the birth of a female child, the period of Dam Tuma would be a period that extends over 70 days. So Shalu Talmidim es Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, the students asked, what do we do with this pasuk V'tam'ah? And again, we read it Shvu'ayim Kinidasa, that she's only Tmeya for 14 days, which is twice the number of days as the Dam Tumah of a Zohar. Is Ekra Ni Shivim? Should I interpret as if it says Shivim, which means 70 days, because that's the Ksiv, that's the way it's written in the Torah. We don't have a Vav in the word Shivim, which would indicate Shvu'ayim, and therefore we're going to read it as Shiv'im. Now when I say a Vav, this is what we call a Kubutz Vav. You know, there are two types of Vav. Sometimes there's a Shva under a Vav, sometimes the Vav has a hole right in the middle, a dot in the middle. And if you read it as Shvu'ayim, meaning if you add a Vav between the Beis and the Ayin, what you end up is with Shvu'ayim, and that's indeed how we read it. As we discussed yesterday, there was a whole Masorah that whenever there's a discrepancy, the Masorah tells you that although the Sofer has to write it in a certain way for the Kashrus of the Sefer, but the Koreh and those who learn the Torah have to read it in a different way. Here's a great example of this discrepancy, because the Masorah has it that it has to be written without a Vav, which means it's Shivim 70, but we interpret it as if there were a Vav there, Shvu'ayim. Do you follow? The Vav after the Beis. Shvu'ayim means 2 weeks. So therefore, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, Yochel, I might think, Shetehe yoledes nekeva tmeya shivim yom. That maybe the tmei tuma of a baby girl would be as long as 70 days. And the answer is going to be that, well, let's put it this way. There are going to be two answers. There's going to be the first answer that Rav Yehuda ben Roitz gave the Talmidim. And then, if you remember, he runs after them after they leave and he says, wait, I have to tell you a different answer. Forget my first answer. So Rav Yehuda ben Roitz himself offers two answers. The first answer is based on Svara. And the Svara, the analysis is going to be the following. That the Tumas Leda of an Akeva is a mirror image, just that you have to double the numbers, of the Tumas Leda of a Zohar, which means the following. In both cases, you have Dmei Tuma and Dmei Tara. And there are two periods of time. In the case of a Zohar, it's going to be 7 and 33, and bringing us to the number 40. Now everything should be doubled in the case of an Akeva. Now, the Torah does spell out the 66 days of Dmei Tara in the case of an Akeva. Therefore, the Torah is indicating that we doubled the number. So 33 became 66. That's for Dmei Tara. Then we should do the same thing, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Dmei Tuma. That just like in the case of a Zoch Shas 7, if we double it, we get to 14. Hence, we know that the word Shivim means Shvayim. It means 14 days. Let's see it inside. Omar Lehem. This was the first answer he gave the Talmidim. Time v'tiher, there's a double period of time. First, there's the Mei Tuma, the Yimei Tuma, and then there's Yimei Tara, which means any dam that she sees during the Yimei Tuma is dam nida. Any dam that she sees during Yimei Tara, by definition, again, this is a halachic definition, this is not biological. You know, you're not sending it to a lab. You know, it's not a different blood structure. I don't think it's something in physics. That's what I think. I don't know. If I'm wrong, please tell me. You have to Google this. Anyway, whenever I use the word Google in Shia, you know it means a mitzias as opposed to Allah. That's my lingo. So when I say Google it, that's your job. You got to go Google it, because I don't know how to Google it. In any event, so we have the following. So we have Dmei Tuma and Dmei Tara. And we certain days after the Leda are defined as Dmei Tuma, and afterwards a period of Dmei Tara. That's in the case of a Zohar, Vitime Vitir Benikeva. And likewise, we have almost the mirror image, except we're going to double it, in regard to a Nekeva. Oh. Makishatir Bezohar Benikeva Kiflayim. It's explicit in the Torah that as far as Yimei Tara concerned, we double the number of Zohar when we get to the Nekeva is Afkishatime Bezohar Benikeva Kiflayim. When the Torah spells out the days of Tumah, we're going to likewise double the days of Tumah for Nekeva as opposed to Zohar. And in the case of Zohar, we know exactly how many days of Tumah there are. The Torah says explicitly there are 7 days of Tumah. In the case of Nekeva, therefore, multiplying 7 by 2, even I can figure that one out, and that's going to be 14. And even though the word could be read as Shivim, as 70, but the logic here in creating a parallel of Dmei Tumah and Veitara, just doubling it for the Nekeva, is going to lead us to the definite conclusion that the Dmei Tumah for Nekeva are 14 days. Well, Liachar Shiyotzu, the Talmidim packed out. You know, they thought they got a very brilliant answer to that question. Yotza, he, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, umachzir achrem, and he started running after them. Amar lehem, and he said to them, iatem zkukim lekach, drop that whole piece of logic, you don't need it. Why? Shvuayim karinan. Emphasize the word karinan. Karina means yesh em le Mikra, which means how do we read the word? We have a tradition that we read the word as if it had a vav in it. And if there's a conflict between the way it's written in the Torah, namely without a vav, which means shivim, or with, or the way we read it, and we read it with a vav as if it said shvayim, then we interpret the pasuk based on the mikra. and not based on the Masorah, not based on the Masorah for the scribes as to how they have to write a Sefer Torah. So now, Rabbos, just to summarize, we have both Rebbe in his requiring five judges for Dinei Mamonos, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz in his final conclusion as to how we know that the days of Tumas Leda for a Nekeva are 14 and not 70. Both of these opinions are based on the principle called Yesh Eim LeMikra. And now we get into Kodshim. As I said, today we're learning Shas, right? So as if life wasn't complicated enough as it is. By the way, do you like to hear a story? Anybody like stories?
Yeah,
I want to tell you a quick story. I wasn't present, so I'm just giving it to you as a cliche, but I heard it from a very reliable source. At the end of the Rav Shir, one time, somebody raised his hand and he offered a pshat in the sugya. And the Rav started berating him. How can you say such a thing? It's against everything that we know. And that was the end of Shir. The guy ran out of Shir with his head, you know, down low. The Rav put his head down on the bench and he started thinking the sugya out alone. And in front of all the Talmidim that were there, he just got up and nobody knew what was going on. And he's running and running and he's running. He went into what we used to call the greasy spoon. That's not a nice name. But there was a restaurant across the street from Yeshiva, Milka restaurant. And he saw the fellow. He comes right over him. And he says to him, the guy turns white and green, Rav Soloveitchik has not only berated him in Shia, but now he's looking for him. He's mamish gonna shecht me. And he says to him, you were right and I was wrong. And tomorrow I'll explain. So you see that this kind of thing, when sometimes you have to run after the Talmidim. You know. Alright, so now we're going to learn a little bit. What do you say?
How does it work?
So again, what happens is, if you're talking about Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz, is that he said, I don't need... Or,
the halakha is that it's short, that it's
2 weeks.
2 weeks. But how do we know it's 2 weeks when the ksiv itself is shivim, which means 70 days? Yeah. And the answer is that we read it as not shivim, but shvuayim, because we read it as if there were a vav there. And the same thing applies to the word yarshiun in the sugya that we did yesterday, by which Rebbe derives, by adding that vav, that you need four judges, and then we add a fifth judge to make it into an odd number. Okay. Now, both sides, the sugya we're about to learn here in Kodshim is based on two principles, fundamental principles, which apply universally to Kodshim. And then we'll get to the more specific rules. The two universal rules that apply to all Kodshim are the following. Principle number one is that the kaparas hakarban is generated by what we call zrikas hadam. So even though there are four avodos, and we start with Shechita and we end with Zrika, but everything depends upon the Zrika. The entire process and its culmination of Avodas HaKorban culminates with Zrika. That's an overriding principle. There's no Kapara, the Korban is invalid without Zrika. That's principle number one, Chok V'lo Yav. Principle number two is that when you get down to specifics, which means, let's say, for example, does the Kabbalah Saddam have to be in this kli, or could it be without a kli? You know, can he take the animal and bring it over to the Mizbeach and squeeze the blood onto the Mizbeach without being makabalit in a kli shars? Those specifics fall under a different rule. And that is the following. If the Torah says it once, that's called limitzvah. If the Torah repeats itself, that's called li'ikuva. So we have two categories of kodshim. One category of, and again, everything I'm saying only applies to kodshim. The first category of kodshim is what's called l'mitzvah, that there are many requirements that are l'chatchila to embellish the karban, to make it a mitzvah min amuvchar, to fulfill the kodshim in its perfect way, in the ideal way. When the Torah repeats itself, then it's likuva. Then it's not just an embellishment, but it's absolutely critical. And it's indisposable. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas, Kol Sheshina Alav HaKosev. Shina means to repeat. is likuva. It's coming to teach you that it's absolutely critical. So those are the two principles. They apply straight across the board in Kutch. What we're going to focus on is the following. Yes, we need zrikas hadam. But how many zrikos do we need? For example, in most kodshim, we have a principle called matona achas. All you have to do is one matona. In other kodshim, we have a principle called arba matonos. Let's focus, for example, on ola, asham, and shlomim. These three karbonos require four matonos, four different zrikos. However, the Mishnah establishes, based on Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that you don't have to do four zrikos, you can do what's called shtayim shein achas, which means that if you... Shtayim shein arba, I'm sorry. And it means that if you put the dam on certain corners of the Mizbeach that are diagonally across from each other, then the dam flows in two different directions in each one of the zrika, and that's considered as if he did four zrikos. So that's called Shtayim Shehein Arba. Again, if you were a student of mine of 18 years old and you didn't write this down in your notebook, I would throw you out of shiur. That's honestly. But since this is all voluntary and you're giving up your free time, so I'm not going to throw anybody out of shiur. I'm just lucky that you come to shiur, right? Okay. I'm sorry, I have to apologize, but for 40 years I taught 18-year-olds and it was a different kind of environment, so I'm trying to make the transition. And there was no such thing as a student coming to class without a notebook.
You can make us feel like 18-year-olds.
Yeah, you don't mind? Okay. So write this down then. Shtayim Shein Arba. Okay. Now, the exception to this rule is going to be a Karban Chatas. Now, a Karban Chatas requires arba matonos, not shtayim shein arba, not two on on diagonally opposed corners of the mizbeach, but four zrikos. Not only that, but a chatos has another unique dimension. Not only does the Torah up the ante on how many zrikos have to be performed, and you need four, but the question is where those zrikos have to be performed. On the bottom of the Mizbeach or on the top of the Mizbeach? So normally, let's say for example in the case of Ola, Asham, and Shlomim in those cases, again, Bechor and Pesach have a different category, that's called Matona Achas, but in the cases where you require four Matonos, but you do two, shame four, there, the Zrikas Hadam is on the lower part of the Mizbeach. Again, if we had time, we'd go through the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a very complex sugya. But suffice it to say that in the middle of the Mizbeach, there was something called the Chut HaSikra. The Chut HaSikra, you don't have to write this down because that's already real, can't you? The Chut HaSikra divided the Mizbeach into two, the upper part and the lower part. In the case of Zrikas Hadam, for all Karbonos, with the exception of Chatos, the Zrika is below the Chut HaSikra, on the lower half of the Mizbeach. And then, of course, there are dinim about how the dam goes into the Yisod HaMizbeach, and then there's Shirayim, which we have to collect from the Yisod, and we have to do another Shvicha. That's all Kodshim. But what we have to know is the following. Within Chatos, there is a very unique category, which is called Chatos Pnimis. That means that all Chatos are Chitzonios. And the Zrika is achieved on the Mizbeach Achitz, on the outer Mizbeach, which is in the Azara. The exception to the rule is called a Chatos Pnimis. We'll soon see that there are two Chatos that are called Chatos Pnimios. Pnimios means inside the Heichal. Which Mizbeach was inside the Heichal? The Mizbeach Azov, otherwise known as the Mizbeach HaKtoris. And in the case of a Chatos Pnimis, I'll give you one example, I have one other example later on, of Par Helim Dovashel Tzibur, there the Zrikas Adam has to be in the Mizbach HaZov, that's called a Chatos Pnimis, inside the Heichal. Now we're about to embark upon a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is about that distinction that I indicated before, that sometimes the Torah says you require X, but the Torah only says it once, and therefore it's le mitzvah. Sometimes the Torah repeats itself, and it's likuva, and it's absolutely critical. The question is, when the Torah requires zrika, how many of these zrikos fit in the category of lemitzvah, and how many are absolutely required? For example, we say that in the case of a korban chatos, you need four zrikos. What would be in a case where he only did one zrika? Okay, he passed the bar, he passed the baris, but he did one zrika, but he's missing three other zrikos. Beit Shammai is going to come up with a shita that the minimum number of zrikos has got to be two. Less than two in a korban chatos will not suffice, because the requirement of two is critical. The extra two, that comes under the halacha of lemitzvah. That's already an ideal for fulfillment or performance of the mitzvah. So let's read it inside. Beit Shammai is going to hold, again, keep in mind, I have it on the board here, Yesh Eim LeMikra. Remember, we had Rabbi Yitzchak with a whole list of Tanoim who maintained that Yesh Eim LeMikra. And on that list, number three on that list is Beit Shammai. And where do we see that Beit Shammai maintained Yesh Eim LeMikra? That is codified in a Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim, in the sugya of matonos. Matonos is another word of synonymous with zrikos. That when we put the dam of the korban on the corners of the mizbeach, to what extent is it absolutely critical? How many of these matonos, how many of these zrikos are critical? Beit Shammai Omrim, kol hanitim al mizbeach hachitzon. If we're talking about a chatos, chitzona, which is 99% the chatos, so a person violates an avera b'shogeg for which he's chayv kares, he has to bring a korban chatos, he ate chelev, or he ate dam b'shogeg, then he has to bring a chatos chitzona, and that chatos is the zrika is done on the mizbeach hachitzon, otherwise known as mizbeach hanechoshes, as opposed to mizbeach hapnimi, which is mizbeach hazahav. Says Beit Shammai, the critical number, the absolutely bare minimum number of matonos, is going to be shtayim. You need shtayim matonos. Now, if nisana b'matona achas, what happens if, in this case, according to Beit Shammai, he did one matonah? Zrika achas al keren hamizbeach. So now we're talking about, I made a mistake, I already jumped the gun and I was talking about chatos. We're not up to chatos yet. We're up to the cases of ola, osham, and shlomim. Then we'll get to chatos in the next line. So in the classic cases of a dam hanitan or hanizrak al mizbeach hachitzon, where the Torah requires two matonos, then the minimal requirement is going to be one matonah. Shenisonam b'matonah. So let's go back. We're talking about ola, osham, or shlomim. The Torah requires what's called shtei matonos shehein arba. And that means that two matonos are absolutely required. But what happens if, instead of doing the two matonos, as he was meant to do, he only performed one matona? So one matona is 50%. Now you and I would say 50 is not a passing grade. In my day it was 60, 65, I don't remember. But here he's got 50%. Well, 50% is good enough. Kiper. Kiper means kapara. Kapara means the carbon is valid. It's otherwise known as ritsui. Ritsui is an identical, is a synonym of kapara, which means that he achieves his atonement and the karbon is valid. Now at this point we have a little bit of a girsa issue. We're going to follow the marsha and we're going to read the next word, ubechatos. Now again, when we get to chatos, even a chatos chitzona, how many zrikos, how many matonos does the Torah require ideally?
Four.
Oh. Now, we said that according to Beit Shammai, what's the passing grade? 50. So what would be 50% of four matonos?
Two.
So in the case of a chatos, we upgrade, we up the ante, shtei matonos. Less than shtei matonos will not do it. There's no kapara, there's no ritzui. He's going to have to bring a second chatas to replace the first chatas. Ubeisil omrim, af bechatas, even in the case of chatas, shenesanon v'matona achas, instead of four matonos, he only was zorek one matona, is kiper, b'di'evet, it's okay, and there's ritzui bailim, the carbon is kosher. And now the Gemara analyzes the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So again, as far as Chatas Ola, I'm sorry, as far as Ola and Asham are concerned, right? Ola and Asham are concerned, or we'll throw in Shlomim as well. Everybody agrees that one matana is critical, but beyond one matana, kiper. But as far as Chatas is concerned, where the Torah doesn't require Shtei Matonos, but rather Arba Matonos, here we have a Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai say that since the Torah, in the case of Chatas, requires Shtei Matonos, I'm sorry, requires Arba Matonos, therefore Shtei Matonos is good enough, but not less than Shtayim. Beit Hillel say no, that one Matonah is always going to be the critical requirement. And the Machlokas now is about this issue, of Yesh Eim Lemikra or Yesh Eim Lemesoris. Omar Rav Huna, my time with the Beit Shammai. Why does Beit Shammai tell us that in the case of a Korban Chatos, the minimum requirement of Matonos is two, and less than two, just one Kata Masud? Because the answer is that the Parsha of Chatos, what's called a Chatos Chitzona, the Torah repeats the word Karnos three times over. Three times over. Now these three are going to indicate that you need three matanos, but we have something called a halacha l'moshe misinai that tells you that in the event if you dropped out one matano, then it's okay. But initially the pasuk says karnos, karnos, karnos. Now I would ask you for a favor here. Again, I always say we have to chain down a chumash to our room here, but if somebody could get a hold of a chumash, we'll see this word karnos three times. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Now, the word karnos could be written in two ways. It could be written with a vav and without a vav. In your Gemara, it appears with a vav. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So we're opening up again. I always love a blue, the big blue chumash, because this just throws me.
I know what these are. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I'll tell you where the after Shia, remind me to tell you where the big blue chumash is.
Okay.
So in any event, if you could open up the chumash, if you don't mind doing that work for me, Vayikra Perek Dalet. Okay. Now in Vayikra Perek Dalet, we're going to see three different psukim. You, Steve, you don't mind?
I have them here too.
Yeah, okay, so give it to somebody else, but don't get me nervous. If you give me the chumash, you get me nervous, okay? Okay. So open up to Pasuk Chaf Hei in Vayikra Dalet, and if you can read that Pasuk out loud. Steve, you don't mind reading out loud for me? Vayikra Dalet Pasuk Chaf Hei. Oh. Karnos, you have that word, karnos. So we're talking about dam chatos, and he has to sprinkle it on karnos hamizbeach, correct? Now fast forward to pasuk lamed, we're going to see the word karnos again. By the way, in pasuk dalet, does it say karnos with a vav or without a vav? Without a vav. Okay, this is very important because that's going to introduce Beis Hillel, which is called Yesh Eim L'Mesorah, and it's all dependent on how it's written in the Torah. In lamed, what do we have?
Dalet.
I'm saying in Vayikra Dalet Pasuk Lamed, what do we have? Okay, again, Karnos HaMizbeach. Here it's written what?
Without a vav
again. So let's see, the Torah is being very consistent here, without a vav. And then fast forward to Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Okay, a third Mizbach Ola is Mizbach HaNechoshes. And what is the word Karnos? How's it written? Without a vav. So three times over, the Torah leaves out the vav.
What's the third one?
The third one is in Pasuk Lamed Dalet. So you have Chaf Hey, Lamed, and Lamed Dalet. Okay, take a look. See if you find it. Okay. Now, the way we read the word is not Karnas HaMizbech, but Karnos HaMizbech, as if there were a Vav there. And this is going to lead us to the Shita of Beit Shammai. Because if you interpret the word in the light of the way it's read, that's called Mikra, Yeshem LeMikra, then every time the Torah uses the word Karnos, and that's the way we read it, it's in the plural. And since this word appears thrice, 3 times 2 is 6. Harei kan shesh. Now, what does this mean? That we require shesh matanos. So the answer is, we're going to have to divide this word shesh into two categories. It's impossible to interpret this word shesh literally, because there are only 4 karnos hamizbeach. So how can the Torah indicate 6 karnos hamizbeach? The mizbeach is a square, and it's made up of 4 corners. So we're going to have to divide it into two. And the way that Beit Shammai finds the division into two is the following. Arba lemitzvah, ushtayim li'akev. That the Torah meant to say the following. That really the mitzvah, the way you should fulfill the mitzvah of a chatos chitzona, ideally lechatchila, the mitzvah means ideally, is with 4 zrikos. 4 zrikos on the 4 corners of the mizbeach. So why did the Torah add another 2? Well, by adding another 2, the Torah is pressing a button. That button is called Shina HaKosav Li'akev. What does that mean, Shina HaKosav Li'akev? It's telling you, by repeating it, that this is critical. So the Torah adds another 2 chronos for another 2 matanos to indicate that 2 matanos out of the 4... Ali Ikuva. So do you follow the structure? Once we start with Yesh Eim LeMikra and we interpret Kronos with a Vav as referring to a plural, a minimum of 2, and therefore we multiply that by 3 Kronos, it says Kronos thrice, then we get up 6. It means that 4 are LeMitzvah. The Torah repeats another 2 to tell you that those 2 are Ikuva, which means they're absolutely indispensable. Hence, according to Beit Shammai's calculation, the Torah is telling you about 2 of these 4 matanos that we cannot do without them. Ubeisil Omrim, Beisil say the following. Well, the Torah, when it writes the word chronos, now here I have a problem, because you told me that all 3 are without a vav.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a problem here. Just 1 second. Let me see if I can fix this problem. So this is a Rashba. The Rashba says that Bisfarim Shalanu, in our books, Ksuvim Shloshes HaKronos, the 3 Kronos are written. Just 1 second. Okay, Rabbi, so I'm going to have to get back to you on this. It seems that 1 of the 3 is meant to be with a vav. All right, we'll have to go through this Rashba. I'll owe that to you. So at any rate, it goes like this. If 1 of the 3 is written with a vav, then if we look at the ksiv, which is called Yeshem Lemesores, what do we end up with? With a vav. Right, a vav means it's plural. Hello? Mm-hmm. 2, right? Then it repeats the word chronos another twice without a vav. Harekan arba. So we have 1 chronos with a vav. Again, we'll get back to the Rashba to see which of the chronos has to be written with a vav. And we have 2 chronos without a vav. If that be the case, we end up with how many matanos?
4.
Harekan arba. Says Beis Hillel, Shlosha LeMitzvah V'Achas LiAkev. In other words, as I said at the outset, the Yehorg Val Yafar principle of Kodshim is that you need at least 1 Zrika. Without 1 Zrika, it's not Mechaper. But since the Torah never repeated or jacked up the number beyond 4, then if 1 is Miakev, the other 3 are only LeMitzvah. Again, Beis Hillel has the luxury of saying such a thing only because he holds Yesh Eim L'Mesores. And if Yesh Eim L'Mesores, he's interested in reading the word Karnos B'Loshan Yachid without the Vav. Again, he's not reading it that way, because again, he agrees that there's the vocalization is given to a tradition, but as far as how you write the Torah, two out of the three chronos are written in the Torah without a vav, which gives me a singular. So instead of jacking the number up as Beit Shammai would have it to six, he jacks the number up to four. And if one is critical, because that's always the minimum, and the Torah didn't repeat itself beyond those four to indicate that some of those four are likufa, the other three are only lemitzvah. Now the Gemara raises a havamina here, which is very problematic, and all the mefarshim try to understand the havamina. Ve'ema kula lemitzvah. Maybe since all four are indicated by the Torah didn't repeat any of the four, and the Torah never jacked it up to five, so it's not like one of the four was repeated, then why don't we apply the principle that whatever the Torah says once is only lemitzvah? Well, if kula lemitzvah, how many zrikas can you end up with?
Zero.
So the Gemara says, kapar v'chdi lo ashkechan. We don't know anywhere in the world of Kodshim that you can achieve a kaparas hakarbon in the absence of any matana. Again, the Havamina here is going to occupy the minds of the Mefarshim. How did the Gemara even raise the chutzpah to raise such a question that maybe all four zrikos are only lemitzvah? I mean, that's something that just undermines everything we know about Kodshim. And perhaps that's the Gemara's answer, but what was the Havamina? I don't know. In any event, the bottom line is, Rabosai, that if we go back to Rabbi Yitzchak's heading to this sugya, he's got Rebbe on the top of his list for Yesh Eim L'Mikra. That's Rebbe requiring five judges because of the word Yarshiun, adding the Vav based on the Mikra. We have Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, who reads the word Shivim as Shvu'ayim by adding a Vav, that's the Mikra. Hence, Hartumas later in the case of Nekeva, Hadam Tuma only extends for 14 days and not for 70 days. And then we have Beit Shammai, that since the Torah, the way we read the Torah is Karnos, as if there were a Vav, and Karnos appears thrice, and therefore jacks it up to six, two of which are a repetition to teach me Likuva. Hence in the case of Achatos, the barest minimum requirement of Matonis is going to be two. And now we're up to the fourth Tana on the list, and that's Reb Shimon. Oh, now the Gemara gives us a little breather. Now we're learning to set the Sukkah. Okay, that's a little bit more up my alley. You know, until now we were doing Tuma Vitara, we were doing Kodshim, now we're a little bit into Moed. Truth is, whenever I taught Sukkah, I used to teach the third parak of Sukkah. That's the easy part of Sukkah. The first parak is murder. It's all about machitzos. Now, there are two ways of understanding the minimum of a structure for a sukkah. What is the barest minimum of a structure? Again, in our sukkahs, Baruch Hashem, we have perfect, complete, ideal sukkahs. There are four walls to the sukkah. But we know, based on a halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai, that we don't need four. So how many do we need? What's the barest minimum? Well, one way is to say two plus, and the other is to say three plus, that maybe the halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai is to drop the fourth mechitza. So let's see the machlokes in the Gemara in Sukkah Dafav between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. We'll start with Rabbi Shimon. Desanya, we learned in a brisa with regard to the number of walls that make up a kosher sukkah. The Chachamim, that's the Tanakam in this brisa, we'll get to Rabbi Shimon in a minute. Shtayim kehil chason ushlishis afilu tefach. Okay, now this is a little bit complicated. This, if we get by this part, we're okay. When we talk about the size, the measurements of a sukkah, of the defanos, the walls of a sukkah, we have to differentiate between gova, which is the height, and Rochav, which is otherwise known as Orech, which is the width of the wall. So as far as any wall is concerned, the minimum height has got to be Asara Tfachim. It's got to be 10 Tfachim high. That's not the subject of our sugya here. The third wall, which he says Afilu Tefach, he's not discussing the height of the wall. The height of the wall must be Asara Tfachim, because otherwise it doesn't have what we call a Shem Mechitza B'chol HaTorah Kula. In all the Torah, we need Asara Tfachim. So what does it mean when the Rabbana and the Tanakhama say that in the case of the third Dauphin, all you need is a Tefach? So here we're talking about the width of the wall. So if you look at my hand for a moment, the wall is 10 Tfachim high, but it's only one Tefach in width. Okay, then let's assume... What do you call it?
The third wall.
I'm sorry about the third wall. You're right. The third wall. Okay then? So now, normally, the width of a wall, let's say for example, the first two walls has to be a minimum of 7 tfachim. That's called in the Lashon HaShas a sukkah ktana, a very small sukkah. A sukkah could look like pardon the expression, a doghouse. I mean, a little hut. Mamish, very tiny. Because 10 tefachim reaches the height of this table. So you can have a sukkah that's only as high as this table, and the walls are only 7 tefachim wide. I mean, you begin to see how small a sukkah can be. Again, there are bunnies that can make all sorts of gzeros because they're afraid maybe you'll put your head inside to eat the meal, and maybe you'll eat the meal outside of the sukkah. It's such a small area. But that's what it is on a Doraisa level. Now, with regard to the third wall, the Chachamim say that Afilu Tefach, the halacha of Tefach is kind of borrowed from other areas of halacha where the Torah recognizes something called a Tefach. But this is a major breakthrough in Sukkah, because again, the Sukkah is meant to be Teshvu Kein Taduru. You know, it's meant to be a house where you could eat inside the house. You know, and here the third wall has a very, very a very narrow width to it. It's only a tefach. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Kil Chason. We're going to need the following, an absolute requirement. Three out of the four defanos of the sukkah are going to require not only a height of 10 tefach, and that's true for all four defanos, right? But they require what's called the orech of a sukkah ktana. So the third wall cannot be just a tefach wide, it's got to be 7 tefachim wide. That's the shear of a sukkah ktana. Okay, fine. Now, revius, what happens to the fourth dofen? Says Rabbi Shimon, afilu tefach. In other words, here the Torah lowers the requirement of a dofen of sukkah with regard to the fourth dofen, exactly in the same way that the Chachamim, in the case of the third dofen, lowered the requirement of the orech of the dofen down to a tefach. V'maikom miflugi. Rabbanan savri yesh em lemasores, v'Rabbi Shimon savri yesh em lemikra. How so? Rabbanan savri yesh em lemesores. In other words, when we interpret a pasuk in Chumash, we look at the way the word is written without its vowels. That's part of the mesorah, how it should be written in the Torah. And now, if you want, you can open up to Parshas Emor. This is Vayikra Chav Gimel, and we're going to see that the Torah uses the word basukos, and again basukos. So it's going to say basukos teshvu and basukos hoshavti. Now, in both cases, the Torah uses the word basukos without a vav. And if it's basukos without a vav, then it's lashon yachid. However, the Torah repeats the word basukos a third time, and on the third round it says basukos with a vav. So now we're going to understand the shita of the Chachamim. This is called Yesh Eim LaMasores. Harekan Arba. If you calculate the word basukos with a vav, you get two. But twice the Torah says basukos without a vav in the singular, and therefore you add another two, and you finally arrive at the number four. Dalchad kro legufe. This is a principle which we discussed a few days ago called mitchila ein darshinon. In other words, when I need one word just to indicate what the nature of the din is, in this case what the nature of the mitzvah is, then we don't calculate that in the drushos. So therefore, we're going to subtract one basukos, one without a vav, and we're going to end up with three defanos. Now, as I told you before, with regard to sukkah, there's something called halacha lemoshe misinai. And halacha lemoshe misinai tells us that we can subtract one dofen, so that a sukkah can be made of three defanos. Well, now we have three defanos, but we really only have two defanos. Why do we only have two defanos? Because we have basukos once, basukos twice, and basukos thrice. Even though you'll argue, well, one of those basukos has a vav, which indicates the plural should jack it up to the number two, hence calculating at four, but the answer is that yesh ein lemesora, I'm sorry, if you hold the yesh ein lemesora, it should jack it up to number four, but the answer is that we drop one basukos because of the halach of legufe. Legufe means I need it for the mitzvah of sukkah. It's not a drasha. Drasha means that which is superfluous. So the first basukos is not superfluous, and hence we end up with the number three, and we have a hilchos gemirlon on the fourth. So now what we're left with is three defanos. Now this halach lemoshe misinai is going to tell me that the dofen doesn't require a width of seven tefachim, but which is the universal standard mechitza, but rather reduce it to the size of a tefach. So now we have three tefachim, the third of which is going to have the halacha lemoshe misinai. And the halacha lemoshe misinai means that on that third dofen, all we need is a tefach instead of seven tefachim. Are you with me on this? So again, let's go over it. The calculation here is four, but it's really three. It's four in terms of how many times the Torah says sukkos, because again, if yesh eim lemesores, then one of the three times it says sukkos, it says it with a vav, that gives me two. Plus another two times where it says sukkos without a vav, yesh eim lemesores tells me it's one plus one. But four really means three. Why does four mean three? That's called legufe. I don't know, Don, if you were here, but we discussed this at great length, that there's halacha of legufe and halacha ledrasha. What that means is that you cannot calculate a drasha and come up with a number when you need one word legufe. One word is just simply telling you what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to... What do you say?
Like prompting you that this is the way...
I don't like the word prompting so much. Legufe means it's necessary in its context. You can't possibly omit that word. You can't have a parasha of the mitzvah of sukkah without at least once telling me that you have to sit in the sukkah. So to calculate that word sukkah on the first round and then end up with the number four, that's antithetical to the whole structure of a drasha. A drasha has to be based on extra times when the Torah didn't have to repeat itself. It couldn't just use the pronoun, or it didn't even need a pronoun. But the first time it says sukkos, that we need for gufe in its context. So therefore, poshulei chadam, you subtract from the number four one, because in Hilchos drashos, the one time that we need it, that's not superfluous, and therefore it doesn't lend itself to a drasha. How many defanos are you left with? Three defanos. Now we have a loch lemoshe misinai that tells you that one of the defanos of the sukkah could be the width of a tefach. It doesn't have to be seven tefachim. Hence, the third dofen, because again the Torah only requires three defanos, that third dofen could be a tefach. Let me just finish up and then the floor is yours, Joseph. But Rabbi Shimon holds, basukos, basukos, basukos. In other words, I'm not going to look at the way it's written in the Torah. I'm going to look at the way it's read. That's called Yesh Emla Mikra. How do we read the word Basukos even if the Vav is omitted? We read it as if it were Basukos with a Vav. Hence, it gives you a plural. Ah, if it's gonna be written as a plural, if it's gonna be interpreted as a plural, and it says the word Basukos three times, then three times two, because Sukkos is in, again, you read it as if it was in the plural with the Vav. A plural requires two, and it repeats itself three times. Hence, how many defanos is the Torah requiring? Six defanos. But Dal Chad Kro Legufe, so then you can subtract two. Why can you subtract two? Because if you hold Yesh Eim LeMikra, then each one of these basukos is read as a plural. We're going to drop one because we need that word ligufe, and hence we're left with two basukos. In that sense, it's a mirror image of what we saw in the Tanakhama. And two basukos, if each basukos is plural, gives you four. Poshalei arba. Now, there's halacha Moshe Misina that one of the defanos could be as narrow as a tefach. Is asoy hilchasa, gerate, it reduces Lirivius to the fourth dofen, the ukme atefach. So therefore, the halacha Moshe Misinai is on the fourth dofen according to Rav Shimon, whereas according to the Chachamim, it's on the third dofen. Yeah, Joseph.
No, it's just because there's a fourth sukkot. Question of gufo, we already have in.
It says it four times.
It says it four times.
So where are we up to? Are we in Vayikra? We should be Vayikra Perek Chaf.
Chaf Gimel.
Gimel.
Right. Lamed Gimel.
Ah, Lamed Gimel. Ah. For some reason, we're only dashing Sukim Mem Bezim and Gimel. Why not Lamed Gimel? Let me see.
The whole opinion of Sukkah starts from here. So it's got a Sukkot and then.
Oh, I understand. Because that's the only time it says Chag, I think. Check me out on this.
That's the only time it says
Chag. Am I right? Check me out. Again, I may be dead wrong. You'll prove to me that I'm wrong, but.
That says Chag, right?
And the other three don't say Chag.
You mean they're by. That's by Yeshua, you're saying?
Yeah.
Aha. Sukkot
Teshuva. So again. One is the mitzvah and one is to identify the time period. In other words, in the introduction of Perek Chaf Gimel, the Torah goes through the various names of the Chagim and gives names. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when the Torah, 23 psukim later, you know, goes into, or how many psukim later? 40 psukim later, goes into the specific, the Torah goes into all of, so there's like a heading, you know, when the Torah defines.
How many psukim later?
I think. Well, what pasuk are you up to? Lamed Beis, whatever it is. So you add ten.
Lamed Gimel. Yeah.
So when you fast forward ten psukim, and now we get to the mitzvah itself.
Right,
so within the mitzvah itself, within the mitzvah itself, we're going to have chag legufe that you have to sit in the sukkah. Yeah. I mean, that justifies the name of the chag, but that's a different context.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
And then you're left with either two and two, or you're left with one and one, and that's going to be the machlokas yesh em lemikra, yesh em lemesoros. And now we're left with our last Tana on the list, Achron Achron Chavit. Right? We all love Rabbi Akiva. And this takes us back to an area of Shas, which is my expertise. I'm being very facetious. Okay. Actually, I once studied Masechta Olos for Yahrzeit. So they gave me 30 days to learn Masechta Olos. Masechta Olos requires a minimum of 2 years, and even 2 years is garnished. 40% of Reb Chaim's Chidushim are on Olos. The Radzina Rebbe made a whole called Tarkul out of Olos. But in any event, what I can tell you about Olos is that if you walk into an Olos and there's Dam HaMetz in the Ohel, then if there's a shear of dam, a certain minimum amount of dam, which we're going to see in Machlokas on the specifics, then you contract tumah. So for example, Don is a Kohen. I think also, your first name is?
Morris.
In English is Moshe? Well, nobody calls you Moshe. Okay, Morris. We'll get, my uncle all the show, his name was Morris. So Morris is a familiar name in my family. Uncle Morris. So Morris, you're also a Kohen. So you have to be very careful about going into a building when there's dam in the building. Again, only if that dam comes from a dead body. Don't worry about, you know, if somebody pricks his finger. That you don't have to worry about. Okay. Now, the question that we're about to address is, how do you constitute the shear of dam? Now, the shear of dam for Tumas Ohel is called a Revius dam. We're going to see exactly why the Torah requires a Revius dam. Revius, again, there's a shear Chazuri, shear of Chaim Noah. Let's call it... we'll call it 4 ounces, okay? Just for the fun of it. I'm not going into detail.
It's right between the two.
Yeah. So now, what happens if, believe it or not, again, you know, the halacha has to address every scenario, there is a shear of dam, but it's made up of, it's comprised of two mason. So Reuven died, Nebuchadnezzar and Shimon died. And somehow the dam of Reuven was collected in a vessel, and the dam of Shimon was collected. Finally, if they collected the dam from two mason, you ended up with a Revius dam. So Rabbi Akiva, the Sanya, we learned Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayin Revius dam sheyotza mishnei mason. So this principle of Rabbi Akiva that we're about to embark upon is called the principle of tziruf. I'll write that on the board because this is a word that you have to use all of the shas, and that's called tziruf. Tziruf shiur. Like, I give you a classic example of this concept, tziruf shiur. Kiddush on Friday night. How much wine has to be drunk? A revius. But who has to drink that revius? So that's called tziruf shiur. That if everyone at the table drinks a percentage of the yayin, and ultimately, if we link together all the people who drank the wine, you end up with a revius, then that's enough to fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, I mean, it's a din in what we call the chavtz, and not the gav. Okay, but I'm not getting into brisket lumpus here, because we're not learning the mitzvah of kiddush. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva takes this principle called tziruf shiur, and he applies to the shiur of revius dam. And he says that a revius dam means dam ha-mesim. It doesn't have to be dam ha-mes of one dead person. It could be the dam of tziruf for two mason, and we're going to see that it goes even beyond that. Shemitami v'ol, and if somebody goes into that ol, and there's a revius dam that's made up of the tziruf of two mason, is he's tamei. Shenemar, and this is going to be based on the principle of yesh em lemikra. This is in Vayikra, Perikof Aleph. It says in the parish of Kohen Gadol, called the Koshos Mace Lo Yavo. Now there's a kind of a contradiction in this pasuk itself. Why? Because the pasuk uses the word Nefoshos. Now Nefoshos, or Nafshos, is in the plural, which implies that he shouldn't go into an OL if there are Nefoshos that are dead. Okay, nefashos. The word mes is singular. So how do we reconcile that, you know, the Kohen admonishes or enjoins the Kohen, the Torah admonishes and enjoins the Kohen Gadol from going into this OL because it has nefashos, but yet it has mes. Mes is b'loshon yachid, and nefashos is b'loshon rabim. So the answer is that the shear of dam in this OL is of a mess. What's the shear of a mess? A revius. However, it's mishtei nefashos. This dam was a collected dam that integrates the dam of two different nefashos. So again, this is all based on the fact that we read the word nafshos in the plural as if there were a vav, but in fact, there is no vav in this word. Rabbanon, nafshos ksiv, without a vav. And when the Torah leaves out the word vav, it indicates a singular rather than a plural. So Rabbosai, here we have a clear-cut case of a machlokes tanoim based on yesh eim lemikra versus yesh eim lemisara. Rabbi Akiva maintains yesh eim lemikra, and we were taught to read it as if there was a vav in the word nefashos or nafshos. Hence, there are two nafshos here, and the tziruf of their dam to form a collection of a revius is enough to create tumas oel. That's called yesh eim la mikra. The Chachamim say no. How is it written in the Torah? That's called Yeshem Lemesorah. Lemesores. And in the Torah itself, we have an unbroken tradition that the word is written without a vav. So, Rabbi, so the only thing I owe you from today's shir is the Rashba. Okay? And the Rashba says that the word karnos is written with a vav. We didn't find that. So we're going to have to go through this Rashba. It's a long Rashba. And guess what? It's not in the Chidushi HaRashba, it's in the Tshuvas HaRashba. And I only know this from the footnote in the Masif, this footnote number Chaf Beis. So B'li Neder, again, I'm not promising you know, how we're going to deal with this issue, but we're going to try to find that one time in Karnos is written with a Vav. So that's Masechta Sanhedrin Gemara Rashi Selected Tosfos for today. And before I wish everyone a good day, I'll just point out that we are trying to organize a possible Masechta Sanhedrin Be'iyun. And today is Tuesday, so if anybody is able to join me for Masechta Sanhedrin Be'iyun, we're still on the first Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin. Then if there's a quorum, then believe it or not, I'll give that shir at 10:30, and that ends at 11:15. Have a great day. Any questions on the shir?
I have one question. If I'm speaking in Sukkot, it doesn't say Pepach, it says Mashehu. Isn't that the Mishnah says Mashehu, no?
I don't remember. If you can open up the Mishnah, I seem to remember Tefach, but I don't want to rely on my memory. I'd rather see what it says inside.
I know that the Zohar Mashehu, because that's probably what it means, to mean something, but maybe